Good evening.
Good evening.
I'd like to call to order the council committee of the whole meeting for June 26, 2018. You have an agenda that's before you. Are there any additions or deletions to the agenda? If there are none, I'll entertain a motion to approve the agenda. Moved by Councilman Neal. Second by Councilman Cole. Is there any discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. I'll now turn the meeting over to the Safety Advisory Transportation Committee Chair, Councilman Lewis, and ask that that separate agenda be approved as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Council President Slavin. I call to order the Safety Advisory and Transportation Committee. Are there any deletions or additions to the agenda at this time? Before you, you have the agenda.
I move to accept the agenda as presented.
Okay, hearing none, the motion has been made by Mr. Sudler, second by Mr. Neal. All in favor?
Aye.
Ayes have it. Number one on the agenda is improvements, Delaware Bicycle Council grant for feasibility study, a multi-purpose path linking Mallard Pond Park to Foxhall West. I have Ms. Siri here tonight.
I'm Margie Sear. I'm the director of the library and the Parks and Recreation Department, and I've asked Eddie Diaz from the city's planning department to join me because he has an illustration for you. In May, the city of Dover received an announcement of grant availability from the Delaware Bicycle Council for projects that yield high and visible impacts within the community. The granting agency expects to award a total of $20,000 in this grant cycle. The invitation letter received indicates requests for assistance in advancing new projects, such as but not limited to pathways, protected bike lanes, and bicycle streets will be considered and will support project ideas that expand existing cycling infrastructure, fill gaps, and address obstacles and safety hazards. The intent of the grant is to provide cycling infrastructure in communities. The project can be a missing link between existing facilities, or the project needs to be completed to avoid a hazard or is part of a master plan. The first grant in 2015 was awarded to Bridgeville and was used to complete the design of a path. The deadline for submitting the grant is July the 31st. The Bicycle Pedestrian Subcommittee considered this opportunity at their June the 19th meeting. In 2015, the City of Dover's bicycle or pedestrian plan recommends the installation of a new sidewalk or trail connecting Foxhall West and Mallard Pond. The recommendation reads, Foxhall West and Mallard Pond are residential communities in the west part of Dover, comprising nearly 200 single-family lots. The communities only have access from Kenton Road. Foxhall West is about 1/4 mile north of Route 8. However, the community does not have vehicular or pedestrian access to Route 8, so all trips traveling to Route 8 must be made via Kenton Road. Due to the lack of sidewalks along Kenton Road, it can be safely assumed that these trips are almost exclusively done with a motor vehicle as opposed to walking or riding a bike. The new Dover High School, which opened in the summer of 2014, is located along Route 8 in close proximity to these communities. However, due to the lack of pedestrian access to Route 8, a trip from the southern end of Foxhall West to the new school is 2.2 miles, traveling along Kenton Road. If there were direct pedestrian access to Route 8, though, this trip would be reduced to 0.8 of a mile. The City of Dover owns two parcels of land between Route 8 and Foxhall West, comprising 8.7 acres of open space, including Mallard Pond Park. It is recommended that the City of Dover evaluate the feasibility of constructing a bicycle pedestrian trail connection from Foxhall West via Pebble Valley Drive to Marsh Creek Lane as a means of providing a direct, non-motorized connection to Route 8. A trail connection could also be made to an existing sidewalk that connects the Mallard Pond community with the Mallard Pond Park. Providing direct pedestrian access to Route 8 eliminates vehicular trips along Kenton Road, provides additional recreational access for area residents and improves access to the new high school. Marsh Creek Lane is just east of the Hawk pedestrian activated traffic signal that was installed in the summer of 2014. Marsh Creek Lane has sidewalks along its entire length. On June the 19th, the Bicycle Pedestrian Subcommittee discussed this particular project. And Eddie, if you would please walk the members of the council through your map so they can clearly see what this trail could potentially be placed and what it would address.
Can I ask Mr. Diaz to use the microphone stand at the podium? Use the microphone. Thank you. And then if there's an opportunity when you get done explaining to us, could you turn around the map and explain to the people in the audience as well? Thanks.
Yes, sir. Okay. So what you see here is several neighborhoods that are around Mallard Pond Park. Right here, over here you have Heatherfield East, and then to the left of the map, the Mallard Pond neighborhood. The Foxhall West neighborhood is at the top of the page, and the Marsh Creek neighborhood is at the bottom of the page, near Forest Avenue, which runs along the very bottom. The four parcels outlined in yellow are the one that the trail would potentially have to cross, and this blue line here is the existing trail that runs about 1,100 feet from Marsh Creek Lane to North Caroline Place in the Mallard Pond neighborhood. The dotted line here is the proposed trail extension that would run about 650 feet. It would start where the existing trail is in the Mallard Pond Park cross here a existing drainage swale which runs behind the park and between the neighborhoods where the culvert Margie mentioned would have to go. And then it would have to either cross either lands belonging to the Foxhall West Neighborhood Association or the Heatherfield East Neighborhood Association before returning to lands again owned by the city on this parcel and eventually reaching Pebble Valley Drive at the top. So with this trail extension, there would be a pedestrian bicycle shortcut from the Foxhall West Addition down to Route 8, where residents of that neighborhood could access businesses or the high school. For the benefit of the audience again, here is Route 8, here is Foxhall West, here is the Mallard Pond neighborhood, and here's the Mallard Pond Park. The existing 1,100 foot trail goes from Marsh Creek Lane to North Caroline Place, and the proposed extension would go from Pebble Valley Drive through lands of the city of Dover, through lands of one of the neighborhood associations, and then down into Mallard Pond Park, where it would rejoin the existing trail. And I'm happy to take any questions.
Mr. Neal,
do we have any idea if we have support from those neighborhoods for this park?
We, in anticipation of this discussion, we sent notice out to all of the neighborhoods that we were going to be discussing the possibility of installing this multi-use pathway. And we invited those neighbors to attend our meeting so that they could provide input to the members of the subcommittee. We did have one person from the public attend the meeting. You're welcome.
Mr. Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And what was the, did that person give any input?
That was me. I do.
That. Oh, yes. It was published on the City of Dover's website, and it was mailed to the residents.
No, it wasn't
mailed. Was it emailed?
To make sure the public was aware, we, because we publicize all our meetings, so the committee meetings are publicized, but we also put it on Facebook. We sent the flyer to Councilman Lindell and Councilman Post, because it's their district, to try to send out to all the HOAs and all the residents. That's part of their constituent groups that they communicate with. So that's how we try to get word out to the residents, not just with the public posting like we do for all our committee meetings. We made a little extra effort there. Okay.
I'm sure if I'm misstating this, Mr. Dix will correct me. Mr. Dix said that he supported the project for the multipurpose path, but he did not support a feasibility study to do it. He just thought we should do it. Do I have that right?
You got it.
Okay. All right. There we go. So it is the subcommittee's recommendation to the Transportation and Safety Committee tonight to apply for this available grant funding for the purpose of a feasibility study to explore the best route for such a multi-use trail, what would be required in the construction of such a route, and the estimated cost of such a project. And we are here tonight to request support for this grant application.
And then to further ask the question that's related, since this would involve property of other people, not just the city, but the HOAs, was there any feedback from the HOAs that they'd be willing to give those easements?
We did not receive any feedback from any of the HOAs.
Fox Hall West, it no longer has a homeowners association. It was dissolved. Sure.
Mr. Dix, please state your name for the record.
Sure.
Thomas J. Dix, and I live on an Independence Boulevard in Bicentennial Village. It was my understanding that the HOA from Fox Hall West has been dissolved. That's my point.
So Mr. Hutchison, who is the chair of the subcommittee, would like to say something.
Mr. Hutchison, please state your name for the record.
James Hutchison. Mr. Anderson, as part of the feasibility study that we want to submit the grant for, having advertised meetings and soliciting feedback from the different residents of the area would be part of that process. So we haven't exhausted the opportunity to receive that feedback.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have Mr. Lindell, who had a question.
I just had one question. What would be the estimated cost of a feasibility study?
We received responses from three different entities about that question, and the responses were widely disparate. We received a low estimate of $8,000 to $10,000 for such a feasibility study, to a high estimate of $40,000 to $50,000 for such a study.
So that would mean, if, for example, if so, theoretically, we would have to. We don't have this currently budgeted in our.
It is not currently budgeted in the City of Dover's budget, and we are not anticipating asking for additional funding from the City of Dover's budget for this.
Mr. Sudler, you had a question.
I know that the Homeowners Association for Heatherfield is currently inactive, but is looking to be active. I think Councilman Polsk can verify that, as they had a meeting, I think, earlier last year. So I would urge Councilman Pulse to reach out to those individuals to get a pulse on but the PULSE part to get a pulse on the sentiment of something like that coming to Heatherfield.
Mayor Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Sayre, do you have any alternative funding sources for a possible study in case this grant's not given to you?
We do not at the moment.
So my suggestion as chairman of the Dover Kent County MPO is that if this does not come to fruition, that you might want to apply to the Dover Kent County MPO, as we have monies that are available for alternative studies for multi-modular modes of transportation.
That's good advice. Thank you.
Council President Slavin.
Thank you. I believe Mr. Hutchison wanted to speak on this as well. I'll hold my comments until he's spoken.
I was just going to add one brief point. Our intention with this grant is if we can get the money, if we can get the grant, and if it could cover the cost of the feasibility study, then we would want to proceed ahead with it. We did not, as Margie mentioned, intend to try to undertake this study if we can't get all the funding from the grant. So the intention was to try to cover the complete cost of the feasibility study with the grant.
Thank you. I'll take the floor. I just wanted to say I'm fully supportive of these efforts. These trails that are being built all across Delaware right now really have improved the lives of many, many people. And unfortunately, in Kent County and Dover, we've kind of lagged behind. If you watch what's happened in Newcastle and you've watched what's happened in Sussex, an awful lot of this activity is being done there, and it's really kind of extraordinary to see what's happening. The one truth in all of it is that when you build it, people will come out and use it. And it won't be just bicyclists, and it won't be just runners. It will be people who just want to take advantage of a safe passage to take a walk on any given time of the day. So anytime we can do this, it has my support, and I appreciate you bringing this forward. And I do want to offer my thanks to the Bike and Ped Subcommittee. I think it's been one of the better citizen committees we've had involved. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The grant, is there a match requirement or a match component of the grant?
No, there's not.
Great. I just want to thank you as well. I mean, that's my, I don't want to say backyard, but it is my backyard. I walk my three dogs around that area nonstop. So I would appreciate you letting me know how I could be helpful in soliciting community feedback, especially in that neighborhood, specifically Foxhall West, and happy to help.
Does any committee members have any further questions? Mr. Hare?
I just want to follow up on what Mr. Slavin said about Newcastle County doing all this and doing all that. If this legislature would treat Kent County like they treat Newcastle County, then we might be able to do some of this too. So I just want to go on record that, you know, if we'd be treated equally, we could help out too.
Mr. Lindell had a question.
I'd just like to make a motion that we approve going ahead with applying for the grant, and then go along with apply for the grant and then see what happens from there. We get the grant or not.
Motion has been made by Mr. Lindell, second by Mr. Anderson. All in favor?
Aye.
Ayes have it.
Thank you.
Thank you for your presentation.
Very much.
Next on the agenda is improvements to Division Street impact and circulation. Mr. Dix, you have the floor. State your name and address for the record.
My name is Thomas J. Dix, and I live on in Bicentennial Village on Independence Boulevard. I have a long version, a longer version, and a boring long. So which one do you want? Short version. Okay. I figured that was going to come. We have four options presented to us with this booklet that you got, I think, 2 or 3 weeks ago. And They show cross sections of the roads facing from the west pointing east, and they kind of give you a good idea of how they're dividing up the road in these four options, and I've included it in your packet. Did you all get it? Good. And the first one, first option is the existing. And what we have is Division Street. It is composed of two lanes of traffic with parking on both sides. And it has shifting lanes to allow for left and right-hand turns. And according to the plan, Division and Forest has a combined activity of 28,000 vehicles per day. That's a lot of traffic. That's a vehicle every 4 seconds if it was spread over a 24-hour period. So this is a pretty decent street. And that's the way it is now today. They have parking on both sides. Incidentally, I drove here this evening, and I found 12 cars parked between the railroad and State Street. And there's 192 available parking spots that I paced off. So it's not really used very well. The second option was putting medians in the road. And those are in the extent of flower beds, 6 to 10 feet wide, and for beautification of the street. Unfortunately, it's going to tear up a lot of the curbs and a lot of the structure that's there. And it's going to make the sidewalks 8 feet wide, and are not 8 feet wide today. Option three is the bike lanes. And the bike lanes are essentially 4 to 6 feet wide, and they have 3-foot buffers. And there is an interesting insignia that goes along with this bicycle situation. It looks like an Army corporal's stripes on the road with a bicycle under it. You all seen it? Anybody know what it means? No, it's a shared lane. It's a shared lane. Very few people know that. And the bicycle has all the rights of a vehicle. So the problem here is, you know, we were thinking about high school kids going on this roadway, that's what they're advocating, and going to Dover High and intermixing with cars. Now, if they were riding touring bikes, and they were used to riding on a road, essentially this traffic is going about 25 miles an hour. I think a high school person driving down the road, intermixed with cars that are going 25 miles an hour, I think that's terribly dangerous. Okay? That's my point about that. And the fourth option is what they call greenery. This is the attempt of the residents along the road to turn their city street into a suburban street. They're going to plant grass between the street and the curb, between the curb and the sidewalk. And they even got a few flower boxes in the center of the road. So you all know I'm a master gardener. I love flowers. But we have to consider a few things here. The plan is carrying 28,000 cars a day, the planned road, and we are going to choke it with flower boxes and dividers and bike lanes and posts, and we're going to have to tear apart the structure that's there today. We're going to have to move curbs. We're going to have to move sidewalks. I think we're talking a neighborhood of $500,000, easy. That's what I think, okay? And what we really need to consider, that the Division Street has the potential of becoming a four-lane highway, and it's got to carry traffic into the future. So I can only think of 28,000 going to more cars. And looking 10 years, 20 years down the road, if we put all this trash in the center of that road and take narrow it down to a two-lane highway, we're going to rebuild it again. We're going to turn it back into a four-lane road. Does this make a lot of sense to anybody? It doesn't make any sense to me. So I made a few suggestions. Reduce the number of curb cuts on Division Street. Reduce the parking on Division Street. Encourage landowners along Division Street to convert vacant land to parking areas. Have the city become active in negotiating vacant land into parking areas. There's some alleyways involved in this thing which you could turn into parking areas quite easily. And encourage the use of buses. And I don't know if the buses stop now, but they should stop in the center of the city before going to the bus terminal and after going to the bus terminal. To tell you the truth, I've never ridden a bus in town, okay? But I don't know if they're doing that stop. So if they were to do that stop before they come and go, we wouldn't have people going into the terminal to transfer buses to go out of the terminal for five, six blocks. And I also would like you to consider the construction of a parking structure. I just heard about that this week. Sounds like it's going to happen, or it might happen. But I think, I don't know whether I thought of it first or our city manager thought of it first. But incidentally, we do need a traffic circulation study. We have to count the cars, how many are coming and going. And here's the problem with Division Street. It's the only arterial we have that goes east and west. Everything else goes north and south around here. We're north and south area. And we have the world's greatest bottleneck between Mifflin Road and Kenton. Nobody seems to want to solve that. And let's see, what else? I also would like to bring up the idea that we have to make a planning decision about the neighborhood along Division, whether it's going to stay residential or whether it should go college-based. Okay? And that we would solve that problem by making a few zoning decisions. So with all that, I am urging everybody to go with option one and say, why mess up a road only to have to change it again 10, 20 years down the road? Just stay with what you got, and let's do a few of the right things and take us down the right direction. And again, I only saw 12 cars parked on that road coming here tonight. There's 92 parking spots there, and only 12 are used. So it's really not a very well-used parking area. And I'll entertain questions if you got any.
Does anybody have any questions for Mr. Dix, Mr. Sudler?
Mr. Dix, I want to say thank you. It was very detailed, and thank you for taking the time as a citizen of Dover to actually do the research. I'm very impressed. It makes a lot of sense.
Thank you.
And thank you for bringing that to our attention. Okay. That's all. Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Colonel, thank you very much for this refreshing breath of fresh air. I've heard some citizen concerns, but not one supporting tearing up all the roads. And it just seemed to me like an insane idea, but I think that you put it a little more diplomatically. But it just seems like an insane idea to me that would harm economic growth and development in the city, as well as threaten to, it would not improve the lives of our citizens. The roads are for travel, and they are for the vehicles. They're not artistic experiments. Thank you.
Mr. Neal had a question.
Well, it's more of a comment. The purpose of the exercise was actually to create a very attractive entrance to the city, saying this is your capital city in Dover. And in terms of the various options, again, I think it's going to be ours. What says welcome to the city? And this has been happening north and south with the Martin Luther King area, where they've done the decorations to make it much more attractive and using greenery and the like. So whether it's gotten out of way, away from that with what they're doing, I think it requires the study. But understand, there was a reason for it. And I hope you're not saying don't have curb cuts because you have people with disabilities who actually need to move with wheelchairs or walkers.
No, I'm not. That's not the curb cut I'm
talking
about.
Very good.
The curb cuts I'm talking about is for their own driveways that are disused. But as far as welcome to Dover, that's in the triangle where the police like to hide behind the grass and get you for speeding in the summertime. Okay. Hey, put up a welcome sign. But you could even move that welcome sign further out, and you could put it right at Mifflin, between Mifflin and Kenton, because everybody is actually at a complete stop, and they'd have a lot of time to look at the monument.
Mr. Slavin.
Thank you. With all due respect, I couldn't disagree more with your observations or with David Anderson's observations. I won't go into the details of it. I just find that, you know, to come in and say, let's just leave a road the way it is for 20 years is just short-sighted. And I think we deserve better when we talk about our roads than to say they're just for cars. They're not just for cars. They're for multimodal transport, especially when you have a middle school parked right in the middle of it. We're trying to ensure safety. We're trying to ensure economic development. We're trying to improve our city. We're not just trying to move our car faster through town. So I appreciate your observations, but as I said, I wanted to go on the record as just saying I disagree with it. Thank you.
Okay, this was placed on the agenda for informational purposes only. Thank you, Mr. Dix, for your recommendations. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Next on the agenda, adjournment of the safety
vice. Move for adjournment.
It's been made by Mr. Hare, second by Mr. Lindell. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Nobody is opposed, I presume. We are adjourned. I'm going to hand the committee back over to Council President Slavin.
Thank you. I'll now take a motion to adjourn the council committee.
So
moved by Councilman Harris, second by Councilman Anderson. All in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you.